So yeah, we are definitely in a period where we need more than ever to stand together. More than ever to look up and seek our God as a unit, as a people, not as individuals, as a people. Because He is looking for that people. He's looking for that bride. The shakings are beginning and the powers of darkness are flexing their muscles. Or their authority, or whatever you want to call it. As I said at the beginning, we can't let them shake us. We will not. We need to make an even more determined effort to follow our King, to not be moved by what they are doing. So my message this morning, as 2021 is beginning, I'm looking at those teachings that I've been doing on navigating our ships, our relationships, and then I look at our leadership training that we're doing, or even the parenting sessions. And you know what? A common line runs through every one of those things we're doing. A common line, a common thread connects them all together, whether it's fellowship, whether it's leadership, whether it's parenting. Talking about ships. It's talking about relationships. It's talking with God, talks to His people about relationships. Because as we've mentioned here many times before, the church, the body of Christ, it's not about the structure. It's not about getting all our ducks in order. It's not about making sure we seal the cracks and all that stuff. But you know what? It should be part of the game. It's about making our best effort to build meaningful connections and relationships so that we can grow the family of God. And we'll never grow it. We'll never ever grow the people of God without committed relationships. You know, I've been wondering, and I'm writing as I have time, as I find a few minutes or an hour here and there to I ponder this, and I'm writing in my book about this, the concept of church and brotherhood and unity. And you know what? We see all those models in the world. We see that the smorgasbord of churches, you know, with more variety than bulk barn. But they have this one common thread going through all of them. They all want to worship something bigger than themselves. They want to get connected with the entity higher than themselves, with God Himself. And in it, we find a whole slew of ideas and teachings and doctrines. And you wonder, Lord, where's the real way? What really changes people? I'm convinced we have to do more than gathering. I'm not saying we aren't. We are doing more. But we have to do more than gathering on Sunday or maybe through the week and talk of God's Word. Because people have gone to church for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years. They've gone to church and they remain unchanged. They've heard convicting messages. They can say amen to the truth and hallelujah and praise the Lord and walk out and remain on the same path they were before they came in. There's people in God's church. I pray we're being changed. But there's people all over the world. And I mentioned that and I talked with that with Brother John D. Martin. Just talked with him last week. And kind of asking him for help with the discipleship plan that we're making. Maybe for ideas. And we discussed this very thing. He said, I know this. People, it's everywhere. It's in our church. People go to church, they listen to wonderful teachings, powerful, authoritative, spiritual doctrines, and yet, those who are lazy still. Those who are critical still. Those who are judgmental still. Those who are foolish remain foolish. God wants us to change, and that takes committed relationships. So that's what these Navigating Our Ships messages are for. And I want to go on today with the fourth part, where we talk of faithfulness and fairness. And I just might again just do only one, but we'll see how it goes. Faithfulness and fairness. We're clearly, with these teachings, venturing into 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. I'm not going to cover the love chapter today. We're going to get to that. We'll get to that later. Today, I just want to go to Romans again. Kind of skipped a few chapters in Romans. I started with the initial teachings, and then we skipped all the way back to 12, 13, and 14. So I want you to turn to 14 today. Romans chapter 14, as we discuss faithfulness and fairness. Romans 14 with verse 7. The whole chapter is a gem. But it really brings out the relational aspect of fellowship here, and how the responsibility lies on each one of us. That we can't just expect others to treat us right. We can't expect, you know, we shouldn't just be not judgmental on the one hand. We can't just expect this from others. Each of us has a responsibility, both not to do offenses or be an offense, but also to grow and proactively help one another grow in love. For none of us, verse 7, liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And then he goes on and talks about judging your brother. But I want to skip down to 13, where he says, let us therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth something to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, that means with your freedoms, with your living, with your choices, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy freedom, meat, for whom Christ died. Let then not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. And here's the beautiful part. And approved of men. Not that we should live just be men pleasers. But if we serve Christ this way, we acceptable to God and approved of men. So he says here, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify the other. What an amazing verse. What an amazing concept Paul had of the church and of the relationships that are active in the church. And we can see clearly that there is a two-way street here. It works both ways. The responsibilities of any agreement or any relationship is shared. There is no such thing as a working, one-sided relationship. That is not a relationship, and it's not an agreement. We learned that in our leadership training, Derek. That's pretty amazing stuff. So we've discussed faith, forgiveness, forbearance, and flexibility so far. We got a whole bunch more that go together with those relationships and what builds them, what destroys them. So in faithfulness here, the faithfulness I want to use here, there's many verses. There's the Luke 16 where Jesus says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. I want to go beyond that. I want to go more into the relational aspect of faithfulness, and that is loyalty. Loyalty to the body. Loyalty to other members in the body. In John 15, verse 13, Jesus says to his disciples, greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, endeavoring. The word endeavoring means like someone going for the gold medal. Like an athlete pursuing the top prize. That is endeavoring. Endeavoring to keep what? The unity of the faith in a bond of peace. He puts the responsibility on the church. Relationships are two-way things. And when it comes to loyalty to the body, when it comes to being loyal, brothers and sisters, we cannot look at anyone else in the body. We must look inward. We must reflect in the way we are coming across, the way we are acting, the way we relate to others. We must look at ourselves in light of those relationships. Because Paul says, no man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. And those are those concepts that we're touching here. Flexibility, this is the things that make for peace, okay? What was it? Flexibility, faith, forgiveness makes for peace. Forbearance makes for peace. Those are the essential qualities that we need, and we need to cultivate. And the thing I've learned in my life is this: they do not grow by themselves. All growth is intentional. All growth is intentional. No relationship survives without a commitment to one another. No relationship. When two people get married, they commit to one another. When the body commits to become the bride of Jesus Christ, we commit to each other, and therefore that automatically puts us in a whole new realm of thinking. No longer I am not my own. I now have committed to fit together and be part of this movement and be part of this body, that it can grow to become the bride of Jesus Christ. And this is so tough. And I believe because in much of Western Christianity, the reason it's not working is because those commitments are only skin deep or surface deep, 3 inches. Maybe you commit to come to church on Sunday. That's a good start. But at 7 days, the other 6 days, I live my own life. Maybe I commit to putting money in the treasury. Okay, that's a good start. But that will not bring me to the place where I am changed, where I am transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. The song, the brother, I had a note here. One of the songs here, I think it says, I'll find it here, was in the opening. A copy, Lord, of thine. Let my heart be a copy a copy of thine. Boy, that's amazing. To be a copy of Jesus' heart. No, the church is not our salvation. It's not a building or a structure, but it's a people we're connected to. As Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ, the woman, or the body, we can easily make those comparisons. And not that we haven't talked about it. We have discussed it at length. But faithfulness and loyalty says, I'm going to be here for you, brother. I'm going to be here for you, sister. I'm going to be here for you, young person. You are important to me. You are important to this church. And although we're struggling, you can count on me. That's what loyalty says. I am willing to not do anything that offends you or causes you to stumble. Why? Because I value our relationship. Because I value what we have. And I don't want to throw it out the window like a used candy wrapper. When we value the relationship, when we value fellowship, we practice. And if we have a problem practicing loyalty, we need to learn to just keep exercising. We got to keep doing it again and again and again. And it's a conscious decision. We will place a premium on it and not throw stumbling blocks in other people's way. We'll make it our aim to please the brethren. Just as for Romans 14:13 says, our text, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We have the responsibility of not to be judgmental, but on the flip side, we have the responsibility of not to be a stumbling block. You know, when we take the picture of modesty, for instance, you know, there's with men and women, that's the universal problem, a universal calamity, and has brought down the universal tragedies in the church, from leaders all the way through society. This area between men and women, outside of committed marriage relationships, the carnage it has caused the family is incalculable. Because the responsibility is not shared. The Bible says men do not lust. That's a responsibility. The Bible also says women don't cause men to lust. That's the shared responsibility. And so both, it's a two-way street, and we need to take it that way. And if marriages break up, if relationships break up, it is because one of them is not honoring their agreement. And it goes like that in brotherhood. In Luke 17 verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, it is impossible, but offenses will come. But woe to them for whom they come. It is better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he be drowned in the depths of the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Brothers and sisters, are we really taking that so serious? Are we taking this concept to that extent? When we value our relationships, when we value the brotherhood above our personal preferences, we will yield. We will not easily hurt one another or offend. We need to reflect on our lives to see if we're not the ones continuously searching for ways to our own ends. That our motives be pure. That we be seeking for the, let every one of us please his neighbor, Romans 15:1, for his good to edification. Loyalty to the body means I will act and work. I'm talking of our local church here. Since our physical and our spiritual is interconnected, There's no possible way to separate one from the other. No possible way. And so everything we do in the physical has spiritual ramifications, and everything we do in the spiritual has physical ramifications. So it means more than just attending the weekly meetings or morning devotions. It means we act and work as shareholders. Loyalty means we are latched on to the church's vision. If the church has a vision, of course. We are latched on to the game plan. We work and act like shareholders, not employees that work 9 to 5 and then I'm my own man or woman. Loyalty demands we take no money from the company, no products, no raw materials, no supplies for ourselves or for our own personal interests and gains, because we recognize that causes offense. We recognize this strains relationships. It also means, loyalty also means we don't use the company, the organization's time for our own pursuits, our own ends. It means we value one another as equal or better than ourselves. Loyalty demands we do not abuse privileges, but we live with a conscious awareness that we're here to edify one another and build up the body of Christ. Faithfulness to people is a deep thing. Further down in the chapter here, chapter 14, I think, we may believe, we may have this line here where it says, let every man be fully persuaded. No, I think that's further up here. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. You know, we could have that mentality in the body and think, okay, well, each of us be fully persuaded in his own mind. I can have this, I can do this, I can be like that, and have this mentality that's good enough for me. But he goes on to say that if we have that mentality, we are not walking charitably. If our freedoms cause others to stumble. God is watching us. Others are watching us. That's just the nature of it. I try not to. You know, we try to not specifically look for nitpickings in other brothers or picking at the speck in our brother's eyes. I have to make a decision to do that, and I do it. I really make a conscious effort not to look at it. But no matter how you make a conscious effort, when we are connected in a body like ours, what one member does affects quite a few others. What one member says affects quite a few others. The motives of one member have a ripple effect to other members. We can't get around that. We can't. We'd love to. Well, maybe if we cannot quite agree to it or submit to it, then maybe we need to realize, maybe to check our actual internal motives. The next one is fairness. Fairness is a deep one. It's a powerful one. And it's one that deserves more attention than I'm giving it here. But in relationships, in the church, in fellowship, in brotherhood, in no matter in what kind of relationships we're in, there is always a tendency for this one to get abused or misused. And when we consider the word fairness, I think of an athlete. 2 Timothy 2, verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. What does he mean by that? The Apostle Paul says here, if the athlete does not compete by the rules, he is disqualified. And so fairness is an extremely important concept in fellowship. That means what we expect of others, we need to make sure it is true of ourselves. If we want to deny a liberty of someone else, make sure you're not doing that liberty yourself. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul said, "That's happily after I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He says, I beat my body. I bring it into subjection. Why? Because I value you. Because I value our relationship. In fairness, James chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, he says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." James chapter 3, verse 17, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peace-loving, then gentle, then open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." You know, every parent is biased towards his children. We get that, you know. We're all human beings. But we must remember that when in our committed relationships that we have in Brotherhood Fellowship, we need to be aware that partiality and unfairness will cause strained relationships. The partiality is the sin of valuing one person above another. And now it's true that leaders, we have to look for men in the body. We as leaders need to look for men and people that qualify, that have the qualifications of certain offices, of certain positions. That's not partiality. Partiality is when we value someone over another based on our own feelings, how we feel towards them, on blood ties, on social status, on bribes, about through bribing or whatever. That's partiality. It is a toxic ingredient to biblical fellowship, and I feel each of us needs to become aware of it on a deeper level. As fellowship grows, we need to recognize, is there partiality in my judgments? Am I preferring some over others based on how I feel about them? Or do we prefer others based on solely on qualifications? Fairness and partiality is the same word as prejudice, and all these are agents. When we allow ourselves to be prejudiced in relationships or partial, we are agents of division. We lose respect. We lose authority in our lives. You know, I watched. I'm not going to be. I'm not going to deny that, but I watched hockey. And what always amazed me about it, about the NHL, was how they had to compete by the rules. There was a penalty box. When you're in the game, you have to be aware of one thing. There's rules. And there's penalty box. And when the rules were broken, you were given a penalty. Now, if one team got penalized and the other team did not get penalized for the same thing, often you see bench brawls or things and they vent their anger on one another or on the referees or on the rules themselves, because they sense injustice. And that's the way we got to recognize we're in the game when we're in fellowship. We're in the game, and so we need to compete by the rules if we want our relationships to grow. Because in the game, When they abide by the rules, they can even beat one another up, and the next time they're shaking hands with one another. Because it was done lawfully. We need to understand that this goes together. Paul said, let us mind the same thing. Nevertheless, Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. We don't need to demonize anyone who breaks the rules. What we need to do is we need to, in love, walk up to them, confront them. You broke the rules. You, this act you did here was not Christian. Maybe we need a penalty box. Having respect of person, James says, is sin. And God does not honor that. And so we see these concepts. They all go hand in glove with brotherhood. And awareness is the first step in curbing them. Awareness is the first step in being able to grow in these areas. And brothers and sisters, they are intentional. They are. You will never be fair accidentally. You will never be loyal accidentally. We must be intentional about it. We want our ship to flourish. You do. I do. We want it to move in the right direction. Are we willing to do what it takes to navigate there? Are we willing to deny ourselves, show that loyalty because we value each other? Then we must embrace those concepts and seek to grow in them. Church, may I remind you again, church exists for people and not people for the church. Church exists for the people who are committed to Him. And when we get that in order, our values, our priorities shift. And we change. And we're willing to change. So 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 here. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. That demands loyalty and fairness. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Do we have that kind of a heart? Do we have that kind of a willingness, brothers and sisters? Then 2021 is going to be far better than 2020, or 2019, or 2018. We can look forward and say, the best is yet to come. Then we can look forward and enjoy the fruits of our labors. And those are the fruits. Oneness in Jesus Christ. And a divine drive to build up the body of Christ for Christ's return. God bless you. So brothers would like to comment or have a thought, you're welcome to share it.